Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
And often I've picked a text relating to baptism itself. This morning I'm picking a more parenting text, because that's part of the whole package too, isn't it? And so this morning we're looking at Ephesians 6, and this is where we're going. Children, obey your parents. Why obedience is so good? Trust God's design. This particular passage comes after a passage on marriage, so it's a very practical part of the Bible. Marriage, and now deals with family life. And so let me read to you verses 1 to 4, which is the complete section, because then it moves on to work life. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, it says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Amen. So far, the reading of God's holy word. So verse 4 is the obligation on the other parties, the fathers and mothers. We may look at that next week, I'm not sure. We're just looking at verses 1 to 3 today. Well, if you were here last week, we were reminded of our forgiveness. Because when we come to Jesus Christ in faith, we are forgiven from all of our sins. How good is that? And we can go in peace, as the text said. It was a beautiful reminder of why Christianity is such good news. For all sinners before a holy God, and you know, who can deny that in Aussie society? We're all sinners before a holy God, and yet God provides the forgiveness we need. When you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you become a forgiven sinner. And having experienced the love of God and our forgiveness, it in turn fills our heart with love for God and for each other. Today we continue to talk about the good news of Christ, because there's so much to say. Because Christ not only comes to forgive us from all of our sins and cleanse us from them all and give us a blank slate, he also comes to renew and transform our hearts, doesn't he? He transforms our whole life. He pays the penalty for our sins and gives the power to live a new life. Two sides. Remember the song, Joy to the World. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Including with respect to day-to-day parenting. The book of Ephesians has a very clear division. Generally, chapters 1 to 3 are about our salvation, and then chapters 4 to 6 are how we live out of that salvation. So 1 to 3, you might say, is doctrine and truth about the great things we have in Christ. 4 to 6 about practice. In the second half, Christ transforms church life, personal life, married life, work life, and home life, parenting. And it's so, so good. If you've been a parent for any length of time, it only takes, 12 weeks, Stan and Carissa? It only takes about 12 weeks to realize it's a tough gig, isn't it? Your children don't come with an instruction manual. And even when you start to have a plan of attack, well, they've got their own hearts and their own agendas. As one dad and pastor said, or put it, inmates running the asylum. Another pastor, Paul Tripp, tells the story. She was in tears as she spoke to me. Her frustration and dismay were written all over her face. She said, "I have a four-year-old son who I cannot control. There's nothing I can do or say that will make him obey me. And if I raise my voice and say no, he throws a fit and will not stop until I finally give him what he wants. Rather than parenting him, I feel like he's controlling me. I know it's wrong, but every morning I dread when he wakes up and I can't wait for the evening when he goes to bed. In between is just battle after battle. Nothing is easy or enjoyable. The new thing now is that if I even hint at saying no to him, he hits me. I know he's only four, but he has really hurt me a couple of times. I'm at the end of my rope, and I don't know what to do." That's a real story, real situation from a counseling session. I suspect those last words, "I'm at the end of my rope, I don't know what to do," have been in the heart of every parent at some point in time. So let me say from the outset this morning, this passage is not a detailed manual on parenting. It doesn't say all the ins and outs. God is very wise. He doesn't always give us all the specifics. Often he gives us principles so that these principles can be implemented in any culture and any time. So we don't have all the specifics. But we are given a framework this morning that will bring blessing to any home. And so the first thing we see is, children, obey your parents. Interestingly, this part of the letter addresses children. The children in view are not the children who have left home, but those who are still learning in the home. And you can see that from verse 4. So boys and girls, young people, God addresses you directly this morning. And note just how significant that address is. This letter as a whole began, first verse, addressing the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. So it addresses the saints, and now within that it addresses children. What's the implication? Well, I can only conclude children and young people are being treated as belonging to God's covenant people. They're even regarded as disciples. Note the phrase, "in the Lord." They're not treated as unsaved, pagan brats, little monsters, and so on. God has a word for children of believing parents because they belong to Him and His church. Hence our children are baptized to recognize that fact. Hence often address the children in the service to recognize that fact. Hence our Sunday school is for a limited age, in part to recognize that. So, boys and girls, young people, I address you this morning. I address you as God's children. And what does God have to say to you? Are you ready for this, boys and girls? Obey your parents in the Lord. Well, of course, you've heard that before, isn't it? I hope you've memorized it. But let's clarify exactly what is said. You'll notice it's a command. The Greek word for obey is a command. So it just says obey. It doesn't say, oh, if you feel like it, obey. Or if it fits within your playtime and your agenda, you'll obey. Or if it fits within, young people, your wisdom, then you'll obey. No, it just says obey. You see that? That's what God's saying. Never argue with your parents. You might request more information or request different things. Don't say no or don't argue with your parents. And this, of course, means sincere obedience or heart obedience. Boys and girls, I don't know about you and young people about your how things go on in your house, but I've asked my children sometimes to tidy their rooms. But you know what I do to check? I do a dad inspection. And I come and have a look. Because when they sometimes have tidied their rooms, I do an inspection. And you know what I find? I look under the bed and behind the thing and there's a whole lot of stuff there. Things haven't been tidied up properly, have they? It wasn't proper obedience. It wasn't heartfelt obedience. See, it's not real. And this can happen in all sorts of different ways, can't it, young people as well? You know, we can go and start to do surface level what our parents are asking, but we can have a tantrum on the way. We can get the grumps. We can cry like we need a hospital. None of that's real obedience. God asks you to obey. And note the example of Jesus Christ. You know, we don't actually know much about Jesus from his early life. It's just one little snippet here in Luke 2. And you know what is taught in Luke 2, amongst other things? What is taught is the perfect obedience of Christ, and in respect to what command? The fifth commandment. Notice how he obeyed his parents. And that's even more stunning when you think about his wisdom, that he is the perfect child and so forth. He obeyed his parents. You'd think he could just call the shots by now. But no, he submitted to God's framework. Verse 51, it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Now, by implication, there's a word here for parents too. So, parents, don't give away your authority. God is calling us to parent-directed homes, not child-led homes. We need to be wise as parents. We shouldn't make everything a matter of obedience, and we need to pick our battles. Sort of wisdom to apply here. However, if we ask our children to do something, it's a battle that needs to be fought, especially when they're young. For this is God's beautiful design for your home. And we'll see in a moment why. Too many parents give away their God-given authority and it comes back to bite them. On holidays, we stopped at a park in Ballina, New South Wales. The kids had a great time at the playground playing with the other kids, but it was time for the other family to go and the father called them out to go and he said, okay, kids, let's go. No response. So what do, as normally as parents? Oh, well, you repeat, okay, let's go. No response. Then what do? Well, often parents have this little get-out-of-jail-free card that they use. It's not a good one, but anyway, we use it. It's called bribery. And so he said, along the lines of, kids, let's go home and have some ice cream. What happened? No response. Be the authority figure God is calling you to be. Now, I realize there are complexities to this. There are broken homes, mixed families, and bad experiences of authority. And also things change, of course. Older parents will know this better than me. Things change as children get older, for they grow in their maturity and responsibility, and more freedom is given. There's all those things in play. We understand that. Don't get the idea that our homes become like a regimented army. Much wisdom is needed in applying these general principles. That is true. But I want to make the principle clear so that you don't fudge it. Parents are not simply caregivers. They are authority figures in the lives of their children. Authority figures, as we'll see soon, to bring blessing. Not just food on the table. To bring blessing into their lives and to shape the generation and the nation of tomorrow. It's such a massive and privileged responsibility to have. Don't fudge it. Now, I realize this is starting to sound very foreign to our culture, the mood of our time, as everyone does what is right in their own eyes. It's the mood of our time, is it not? And it's the mood of too many homes outside the church, in the church. It's the mood of the book of Judges. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes, and it doesn't end well. Never will. So God in his wise design has a better plan for our homes, and let me show you why. The second thing we see is why children should obey their parents. Now, of course, we don't need God to give us reasons for his designs. He possesses all wisdom. He possesses all knowledge. So we should just trust, should we not? Who are we to question the ways of the Almighty God who has created us? And boys and girls, young people, hopefully by God's grace, you've already experienced the blessings of obedience and the loving relationship that surrounds it. So maybe I don't have to convince you that this is a good idea. But then, knowing the sinful heart, who of us is comfortable with submitting to authority? God knows many of us struggle in this area, and he graciously gives us several reasons as to why children should obey their parents. It's really gracious. Lays out at least four reasons for us as to why we must pursue and persevere in this. One, children are disciples of Christ. Not only are you children addressed, you're addressed as disciples, as we saw before. Note the phrase again, in the Lord. The phrase is equivalent to, as to the Lord. You see, obedience is not just actually about pleasing parents. It's ultimately about pleasing God. Boys and girls, young people, God has placed you in his covenant so that you are regarded as disciples. And as part of this discipleship then, your obedience is to your parents. And parents, then, this is a good reminder that we actually don't have exclusive rights over our children. We are stewards of God's covenant children, and our mandate is to lead them in these paths of discipleship. And that's why our authority is not absolute, and it's always subservient to God's authority. So that's the first thing, children are disciples of Christ. Two, for this is right. There's some debate about this phrase, for this is right. Does it stand alone or does it introduce the fifth commandment? The ESV has a full stop after it, and so does the King James, so I take it as a separate reason in itself. It is right. What is it? Which is to say, it just generally is common sense. This is what is right and good. And it's very interesting, in the Greek and Roman society, they talked a lot about parenting, and they saw it as very important. And yet, Ephesians 6 can say, well, this is just common sense in all wider society, in all wider Greek and Roman society. And isn't it common sense? Isn't it just right today too. People on the street love it when children are well behaved. No one in the shop likes hearing Johnny scream because he wants the lollipop. And no one on the plane liked it when our children repeatedly kicked the seat in front of them from behind. It's just good and right when children obey their parents. Three, God's law demands it. Honour your father and mother. We know that's the fifth commandment, but isn't that staggering? Just a thought for a moment. Several millennia have separated what we read in Exodus 20 and this passage this morning. Several thousands of years. Same commandment comes up. God's law is still relevant in every culture and every time. Why? Because God's character doesn't change. His ways stand the test of time. Now, what does it mean to honour? It means to show respect, give due recognition. In the Old Testament, the word often means heavy and weighty. So in this context then, it means to give due weight to their position. That's what it means to honour. And so then obedience is a very important aspect then of giving due weight and honour to parents. And because it's part of honouring, obedience ought to be, of course, then from the heart. A heart that honours mum and dad. Our culture, of course, is not very good at honouring, and so we have to be very countercultural here to recapture God's design. And parents, it does need to start with us then. Because while we as parents are not called to that obedience anymore, we still are called to that broader category of honour. If we have living parents, we're called to honour them, speak well of them, help them, provide for them. And how can we not, when all that they did for us? You know, I do the maths for my own childhood and I think, well, it must have been about 3,000 nappies and cloth nappies. That's a lot of work. There's a lot of care, a lot of time, a lot of love that a parent must put into a child's life. So let us set an example in honour. It's not the state's job to honour our parents. Or the super funds, it's ours. Fourth, it will go well with you. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Originally, the phrase referred to living well in the promised land, so it's not just about living to old age. It's broader than that. It was a phrase to capture, you know, fullness of a full life and a blessed life. What does it mean today? Well, there's a circle of blessing that we bring our children into, as Ted Tripp helpfully explains it in his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. He talks about this circle of blessing, the circle whereby it will go well with you, boys and girls, in this circle. You go outside of that, it's not going to go well. However we define it, there is that circle there. And note then, loving discipline is the rescue mission to bring our children back into that circle. And boys and girls, young people, note what a blessing it is to obey. See, I hope you didn't think, or I hope you're not thinking, oh, I have to obey, but actually that you get to obey. Because God, by God's grace, our parents are guiding us into that circle of blessing. Youth crime is a massive issue all over Australia. Will it not go better with these homes if they embrace God's design? It's a promise. It will go well with you. So are you convinced now that obeying your parents is good and right? The path of all blessing. There's four here, but you can name a whole lot more, can't you? Are you convinced that God's design will be for the blessing of your home? Well, the final thing then is trust. The majority of children and parents here today likely know that obedience is right. You probably all know that. You might even leave today saying, "Yes, Pastor, that's correct. That's a fair representation of the biblical text. Well done." But this truth is not for your heads and not for my head. We all now have to trust what God is saying. And it'll be too easy for us to find all manner of pious excuses to excuse God's design. It'll be far too easy for our sinful hearts to find some way of weaseling out of this. So I say to you this morning, trust. Trust God's way. We know the Bible is the Word of God. Boys and girls, you know it. You know the verse. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, and so that the home may be thoroughly equipped, parents may be thoroughly equipped, and children thoroughly equipped too. So trust God's way. Too many Christian parents look to human wisdom, human investigation, and human tools. Google or Dr. Phil will solve all our problems. Oh, no, they won't. Too many Christian parents sell out their morality by saying, "Well, there's no right way. Look at all these different Christian parenting books." But we are Christians. We believe in ultimate truth, and we believe that God has revealed Himself. And because of that, we believe that He is reforming our lives and our homes and our parenting and our children. And that He is reforming them into the beautiful ways that He has set. We have seen this morning there is a general design for our homes. No, the Bible doesn't say everything. And yes, we can learn from others. But we have God's good design. Trust God's way. And trust God's character. Especially when He says there is a good use of authority. Indeed, misuse of authority is toxic to everybody involved. It really is. And the destruction can be felt for generations to come. It's that bad. It's the misuse of authority that makes people bitter. Maybe you're bitter about authority. And sadly, some children have had parents that were too strict or even too abusive. That's true. However, the misuse of authority does not mean authority itself is bad. For what's the alternative? Anarchy and self-destruction of the family? Everyone doing what is right in their own eyes? Really want to go down that track? Trust God's character. If you know anything about God's character, you'll know that He is a loving Heavenly Father. He does not use His power to crush. He uses His power to love and to show steadfast love and all the rest. And His law. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. His ways are always going to be good for your life. Because He is good. He is the source and fountain of all goodness, so everything He says will lead to goodness. So if you've had a bad experience, don't deprive the next generation of a good experience of authority. Seek the Lord to heal your wounds. The Lord makes a promise. He heals the brokenhearted. You can bring all of your hurts to Him, and He'll heal every single one. And rather than ditching authority, model your authority then on God's character and bless the next generation. And three, trust the power of Christ to change the sinful heart. Our society is constantly told a humanistic lie, and you've all heard it. It goes like this. Children are so innocent. You heard that? In other words, they are born like nice white sheets of paper, and their problems or sins later on are caused by their environment or so-and-so down the road or that bad education they received over there. So all the problems are caused by things out there. Now, just to clarify, we understand the Bible says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. Shaping influences matter. It does matter who our friends are. But do you parents really believe sin is just in this big bad world? Do you believe that your children were born angelic? Oh, that tantrum, that was so adorable, wasn't it? You know, even TV personality and psychologist Dr. Phil says, children can be both selfish and power-seeking. You have to meet them where they are, he says. And if children are greedy, then appeal to the greed. All of us work for payoffs at some level. He's been popular for a long time now. A lot of people look to him for advice. And even he admits, you can hear it, that there's a sin problem, although he probably won't call it that. But his advice is so sad, is it not? You have to meet them where they are. There's no hope for change there. Parents have to simply bribe their way through. Let's go home and have ice cream. And then get the rude shock that eventually the bribes won't work. Trust the power of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ, again, is not that he just has come to pay for our sins. That's a wonderful blessing. That's the core of it. That's where it starts. But he's also come to rescue us from the power of sin. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. The power of sin is alive and well in our hearts and in the hearts of our children. Just as Adam and Eve rebelled against authority in the world, so every sinner has been rebelling against authority ever since. So various window dressing techniques will not transform your family life. We need nothing less than the power of Christ. Whether you're a parent or a child, come to Jesus Christ because he will change you from the inside out. He will make your life new. He will set you free from sins and addictions and so forth. Come to him for forgiveness, healing, transformation, blessing, wisdom, everything. Come to him for life as it was meant to be. That's who we need to look to. And so in conclusion, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Disobedience is sin, and it's a sign of gross ungodliness and of a society falling apart. And when you have sinned, there is hope for you. Look to Jesus. Boys and girls, young people, remember Jesus, who obeyed his parents. He lived a perfect life on your behalf. Look to him for forgiveness and for the righteousness you need. Parents, don't give away your authority. Embrace the blessing of God's design and enjoy by his grace good fruit. Persevere, put in the hard yards, be consistent, and ensure you have sufficient time for your parenting. And parent for God's glory. It's easy to take this whole design, enjoy some blessing from it, but to use it selfishly. After all, who doesn't want a shot at a perfect child? Now, of course, we know that can't happen. Our children will interact with our parenting with their own sinful heart, and they may even reject the faith. There are no magic formulas. But what we want to be able to say, I think, when they leave home is something like this. I wasn't a perfect parent of God's children, But with his help, I strive to honor his design. To him be glory, and to him belongs the future of my children. Press on, parents. Through Christian families, God is building the church of tomorrow. God is building the nation of tomorrow. And the family, as you know, lays the foundation for all other relationships in society. And in this particular cultural moment, we have a great opportunity to witness to the power of Christ to change the lives of our children and ourselves from the inside out. Let's pray for that. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we look to you, and we look to you for every blessing and every blessing for family life. Thank you for your design. We do pray for much wisdom and that perseverance, that time, that love to implement it well, to implement it faithfully and in reflection of your holy character. So help and bless the parents here this morning. Forgive us for when we have fallen short of this, shied away from it, or come up with our own solutions. Forgive our children and young people for their lack of obedience at times, their excuses, their argumentativeness. We pray for our homes, Lord, that they be more and more outposts of the kingdom of God and more reflect the peace, righteousness, and joy of the kingdom. Lord, we need so much help because we're so far from perfect. And sin rears its head all the time. We thank you for the gospel to have your forgiveness for where we fall short and to have the power for change. Give us much patience. But help us not to lose our focus and to truly run our homes in honor of you. May you bless the church of tomorrow as a result. May you be pleased to bless the nation of tomorrow as a result. Growing our children, our boys and girls and young men and women to be strong men and women of faith and to shine their light in a very confused, sinful, fallen world. We ask for your blessing. Hear us, O Lord, by your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.